Hey guys, thanks for joining us today. Jonathan and I are here to discuss a topic that that him and I have had several discussions about, debated a little bit between one another, and we wanted to jump on and share this with you guys. And this topic that we want to talk about is qualified versus called. You hear the kind of generic cliche term, God qualifies the called. So we want to talk about that a little bit, and the quote that I want to share is from Francis Chan's Forgotten God, and it is, "I don't want my life to be explainable without the Holy Spirit. I want people to look at my life and know that I couldn't be doing this by my own power. I want to live in such a way that if I'm desperate for him to come through, or live in such a way that I am desperate for him to come through, and that if he doesn't come through, I'm screwed." And again, that's from Forgotten God, Reversing Our Tragic Neglect of the Holy Spirit, an absolutely incredible book by Francis Chan. Jonathan, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Just working from my home office that is now set up, but, you know, hanging out in my house and not leaving my house. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm spectacular, man. God's been doing some incredible things through this lockdown at home, and we were just talking about last night. We were all sitting around the table eating a family dinner that I spent all day getting ready, and we just had the radio playing in the background with some we were actually listening to the Lowrider Oldie Show on the radio last night. Nice. As we're all sitting around having family dinner, and we were just talking, and my wife and I just got together, and we're like, you know what, let's make a promise that even after this quarantine and stuff is all said and done, that this is how we spend Sundays.
Yeah.
That we're just together as a family and not going and doing anything overwhelming and having movies and over-centric TV shows and stuff playing. Like, we'll just sit around the table and listen to the radio.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a really powerful thing to be able to, you know, just even if it's just Sundays, to just sit down and spend that time with your family and not let that experience be drowned out by everything that we have surrounding us nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So our qualified versus called. Let's jump into that a little bit. It's really, really been on my heart. And God's been speaking to me really loudly the last few weeks of, in the sense of our qualifications, how we love to view them as strengths, but in the spiritual realm, they can be a hindrance to us and be a quite a bit of a weakness to us and actually cause a separation between us and God sometimes. So let's talk about that a little bit. Why don't you share some of your thoughts on it?
Yeah, you know, I agree. I think that we can, you know, in some of our previous discussions, we've talked about how we are given skills and talents and things throughout our life that we can use to glorify God, and that sometimes when we're called, those skills and talents are called with us. And I think this is maybe what you're referring to too, but sometimes we may tend to think that our pre-existing qualifications are being called, and we can, by that, limit ourselves to what God's actually calling us to. For example, if your skills and talents are purely based in promotion, and then you get called to a ministry where you're going to need to use that skill to help promote and build it and grow it, and a lot like our current ministry that we're trying to get off the ground here, you could limit yourself and think that the role of your call is just to promote and not to also step out into some unfamiliar territory that will enable the Holy Spirit to qualify you for other things. So I think part of it is the lifelong path that we all walk allows the Holy Spirit to enable us and give us skills and talents that we can use. But then there are also times when you step into that unfamiliar territory that really gives the Holy Spirit a way to shine and show how much more you can be qualified for just through obedience.
Well, when he places a calling on our life that we are clearly in our flesh and our human nature unqualified for, right? The testimony that he writes in our lives with that is just another incredible showing of his power and his love and his grace and how he can take somebody that has just been a wreck for their whole life or most of their life or a period of their life and redeem them and still use them for a purpose. We've shared the story before, but for me, I battled 10 plus years of drug addiction. And after I came to my place of repentance for that and God healed me of that, I had started seeing a mentor at our church. And I had told him in one of our discussions that God gave me this vision that I was going to have an opportunity to share my story, my testimony with hundreds of thousands of people. And that scared me to death because I'm not a professionally trained speaker. I had never stepped into that. I had deep, deep scarring from a lot of the experiences that I had in life, whether that had been the bullying that I faced through high school or when I was going through addiction, just bouts with my parents. That was a struggle all in itself, but I just felt that there was no way that I was ever going to be worthy or qualified to have that seat. So a couple weeks goes by and we started this series in Acts, and it's talking about the church in Antioch. And yeah, Barnabas and Saul there. And Barnabas is this great gatherer of people. And he's able to go and make relationship with people in the community and create this community and bring them in, shepherd them in for Paul to speak to them because he was a much better speaker. So I'm sitting with my mentor one morning and I just felt I had this amazing revelation. I said, Blake, God spoke to me so loud and gave me such great clarity about this whole speaking to hundreds of thousands of people thing. And I'm not actually going to be the one to speak. I'm just going to be the one to gather and shepherd them into somebody else. Because I'm not a speaker. I'm a Barnabas. So he just sat back and he started laughing. And he said, well, God told me something completely different. And you're speaking at men's breakfast on Saturday. So you got 3 days to put a message together and speak to the men on Saturday morning.
That's funny. Yeah.
And just leaning on God for that, because I had no other choice but to lean on God. I had never done anything like that before.
Yeah.
But I was able to sit down in 30 minutes and write a 15-minute topic discussion to have with the guys on Saturday morning, and it came out great. And it just showed, right in that moment, God showed me, it doesn't matter what I call you to do, what your past is. None of that matters. If I call you to do something, all I ask for is your obedience and your faith to do it.
Yep.
And make it about me.
So,
and the Holy Spirit will show up and deliver.
When you gave that speech or when you spoke at men's breakfast, when you finished that up, did that sort of redefine your view of your calling? Did that enable a more broad type of calling compared to what you would, because it sounds like when you tell that, it sounds like you kind of narrowed it down to something, and then immediately you were given the more broad interpretation again of saying like, well, yeah, that's what you think you heard, but you're also currently committed to speak, which is gonna make you need to get back into that original vision that you had, right?
Yeah.
Do you believe that re-enabled that?
I'd say that's 100% accurate. I think that I was trying to, a bit of me was probably trying to bail out and look for the easy road and say, okay, I don't have to go this way. This can still have a little bit of an impact. And, but it wasn't, you hear him saying with God, there is no plan B.
Right. So
he used it to refocus me and bring me back to understanding that.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And I think that God has a way of bringing people into your life that will speak certain words and sort of pace you to be on God's pace. You know, I know an issue that I have is when I feel like I'm being called to something, or I feel like there's something that God's wanting me to step out into unfamiliar territory and to keep embracing new things, I tend to go a little fast. I tend to go a little faster than I think I should. And I do it because I just like to, you know, the analogy that I make, I think I talked to you about this. The analogy I make is I'm the car. I have a dog.
Hey, Howard.
He's hinting that somebody is trying to destroy our life currently. So. But I'm the kind of person that when there's a gap in traffic, I go ahead and I speed up to the next car, and you know I don't tail them too close or anything, but I do fill that gap. And I think it's that same way in life. Whenever I if there's not an obstacle in my way, I take off running. And unfortunately, I don't think that God wants us to run on that pace all the time. There are times that he calls us to move quickly, but there are also times that he needs us to just stop, maybe stop totally and wait for the right time. You know, I would kind of pair that analogy of how God can kind of put people in our way or move people out of our way to pace our speed. And I think you could see that in the way that this ministry has started. And the way that Kingdom Lives was established with me and you, all the things that you dealt with coming up to it, and then all the things that I dealt with that led me to reach out to you and us get together, and then you reach out to me about doing this. It was very, the timing couldn't have been better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you pair that with a few months later, we all are finding ourselves stuck in our home. We don't have anything we can do. I can't go to my office every day. You can't go to your office. And now we're able to do what I believe is answering another aspect of our calling here, which is, you know, you started putting out the devotionals to help people stay focused on the word. And then I started putting out the word so that people could read along with that and stay in the scripture. And, you know, couple that with the aspect of testimonies that Kingdom Lives is promoting, and that's the full suit of armor. That's your weapon, that's your shield, that's your armor to stand against the enemy, and we've been enabled, right? And so whereas this may be a complication for a lot of things, I can't help but see God positioning not just us, but think about how many other millions of people are being positioned and armored up in the same way. And it's a call. This whole situation is a call. And, you know, me and you, I feel like we're doing our best to stay in prayer and to answer this call and allow God to qualify us, which I feel like is happening in our experience with, you know, social media and, you know, what we're doing right now with this meeting to try to make this type of platform work too. I think it's all incredible, but I think it's very much something that we had to answer it all. We could be just sitting here and squandering this ability and this time and this opportunity. And there's a lot of people that are going to squander that, but there are also a lot of people that are doing exactly what we're doing. And they're saying, well, I guess it's time to step forward and do that.
I've seen that in such an incredible way over especially the last week or so. So many of our personal friends or non-mutual friends that we have, I'm seeing people start to just go Facebook Live and open up their Bible and read the Word of God. on Facebook Live to, it doesn't matter what the crowd is, you're friends of believers and non-believers and everybody in between. They're just opening up their Bible and reading the Word of God. It's incredible to see people stepping forth and answering that call. You can also see a little bit on the other side of the spectrum and where we can kind of shift gears and hit a little bit more on how your qualification and the skills and strengths that God's given you can hinder you in your walk or your mission or whatever it may be, because you can hit rough patches where you're talking that God says, I need you to wait. Yeah. I need you to be still during this season. This is a season of being still. But because you have the strengths that you have, you feel that you're empowered to move forward, maybe without having God's blessing over your steps moving forward.
Right.
And that can cause you to not seek the Holy Spirit in your next move or seek guidance that you need, because you feel that you have that skill set available to you. And I think that sometimes that can cause us to veer off and actually veer further away from God and just work in our own power. So why don't you speak on that a little bit?
Right. You know, I think that touches on a very important aspect of all of this, and that's, you know, being humble enough to accept it and having the discernment to really slow down the situation. I think that if we I think if we're not humble and we don't exhibit humility, then we risk letting the qualification that we've received turn into self-righteousness, to where we're the ones that are able to make the call of whether or not God is calling. Yes. You know, and that's equivalent to answering your phone when nobody called you. You know, it's, yeah. I really like, you know, the idea of running the analogy of answering a calling with the same way your mobile phone works. You know, it doesn't ring forever. You need to call it, or you need to answer it when it calls. But also, if you're not careful and you're, you know, maybe arrogance and pride and self-righteousness are stronger than they should be, and you're not humble enough to lay those down, and you don't have the humility to seek accountability for those, then that's what it is you're now the guy that's answering the phone when nobody called, and you're talking and you're getting instruction that's not there, and you're running with it. Yeah. And so, and just consider how dangerous that is when you're in a depth of water that you can't get back to the shoreline if you find yourself unable to swim. You know, you look at callings like that, and they're there to call you out into deeper water, and they're there so that you can exhibit faith. But the reason, the real thing that is there, is to give you an opportunity to allow God to give glory to himself through you. Yeah. You know, and I think that goes right back to the thing that Francis Chan was writing about, is I want to be able to tell my story in a way that it's impossible to have happened without the Holy Spirit. And that if I happen to find myself working without the Holy Spirit, I'm screwed.
Well, let me ask you this, going on that note, have you been in a place or had a personal experience? Because I know that I have several times when I've been distant from God and it's come time for me to share my testimony with somebody and it's not there. I've experienced that at times, that I go, somebody will ask me, what's your story? Or I sit down. I've done other recordings with people where I've been asked to share my testimony, and I've had to sit with it written down on a computer screen and read it, because it just wasn't there.
Yeah. I think on both sides of that coin, you can find that sometimes you can't stop telling it, and sometimes you can't find the words to say it. Yeah. And I think a lot of that, if you allow yourself to slow down, I think that is very much the Holy Spirit, you know, pacing you. An example for me is, you know, when I first moved to Arizona, my wife and I moved out here from a calling that she received, and she was very adamant that we were supposed to move out here. She had a dream that made it very clear to her that we're supposed to move here. She woke me up at like, I don't know, 3 or 4 in the morning, and explained the whole dream to me and gave me the ins and outs, all the instructions she was given, what we were supposed to do, list our place in Colorado, let it all sell, come here. The whole thing worked out. It was amazing, right? We wound up in a perfect home, in a perfect place, better off than we could have planned to be. And not even 6 months later, I find myself in some situations where, and the best example is people are like, oh, what brought you to Arizona, right? Because of pride and a lack of humility and a lack of humbleness, a lot of times I just say it was a better opportunity. The bills are cheaper. You can make more money and pay less bills. And it's that simple. But then there were other times when I couldn't help but be straightforward and say, God called me.
Yeah.
You know, God called me out here. And then I explained the whole story and I'm like, it sounds crazy, but that's how I got here. And it's funny because part of that was me. Part of that was just me not being able to be bold enough in my faith because I'm still fairly new in my faith. But then the other part of me was like, I very much wanted to say that God called me out here and I couldn't say it, you know, it just, it felt really weird. But I think that, I think repentance is a very valuable thing there, because even if it was the Holy Spirit that was not allowing you to flow out with the testimony as thoroughly as you should, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't make an effort to repent from whatever feelings you may have had in your life that caused you to not say it, whether it was pride, anxiety, or self-consciousness, or any of these things where you think that, like, well, they're going to think I'm crazy, and I'm at work. I can't tell my boss that God called me out here, and that's the reason he decided to hire me. Yeah. You know, that's very real, and in today's culture, it's so much more prevalent. You know, to kind of sidetrack a little bit, I read a lot of stuff in the Bible where it talks about, you know, especially in the letters to the churches with like Galatians, Philippians, Corinthians, about exhibiting faith. And, you know, it makes me wonder how much my mind now says it would have been a lot easier to exhibit that level of faith back then when you had that level of action happening, that level of miracles happening every day, and that we've actually got it harder now because we don't have that direct intervention that you see in the Bible, especially like in the Old Testament, but then in the New Testament too, with Jesus Christ and the Gospels. Mm-hmm. But then again, maybe we're just not able to see that because of our own minds and the culture and the way we were raised and all that stuff. So, I mean, for me, I pray about it a lot to be able to discern if it's the Holy Spirit or not that is empowering our movements, because sometimes it is and sometimes it's not. And it's really difficult to be in a position where we're trying to promote a ministry. We're trying to get it off the ground and make people aware of it and do all these things so that we can share a testimony and it actually grow a set of legs and walk about the world and change people's lives, right? Because I mean that's the bottom line of what we're trying to accomplish and what we think our calling is to empower those testimonies. And it's such a tricky, if you're arrogant at all, if you're prideful, we can run this in so many different directions that we can't. I mean, we can always say it's the calling of God, but it's so risky that we can run it off in another direction and be outside of the will that God had for this ministry.
Let's talk about that from a leadership perspective, because that is so important for those in a seat of leadership, whether that be in a job, in a home group, in a ministry such as ours, whether that be somebody sitting in the seat of a pastor of church, that you've got to be guided by the Holy Spirit or you don't move.
Yeah.
And does that mean that if you and I come to a place that neither of us feel that God's speaking to us or calling us to move in a direction, that this ministry goes dormant for 30 days and people don't hear from us because God's not moving, God's called us not to move, or the Holy Spirit's not speaking through us right now? And do we have the humility to sit back and say, okay, we're not hearing that we need to do this right now? Because we could move, like you said, in our own power and our own qualification and go in 15 different directions. And we have an audience of people that's watching us every day that right. could be looking to us for guidance if they're early on in their walk. And scripture clearly says that you need to take caution if you're in the position of having authority or teaching over someone else's life, because you're going to be held to a higher standard. So how important is it that somebody who's sitting in a leadership position or someone who's stewarding other people in their walk, for them to have such a sense of humility that if they're not hearing from God, if they're not being moved by the Holy Spirit, that they need to step aside for a short amount of time and figure out what it is that's causing that separation, whether that be God's got them in a time of exile to test their faith, or maybe there's something happening in their life in which they need to repent of in order for that line of communication to be open again. Because just going back briefly to what we were talking about, when I couldn't find the words to speak my testimony and opportunities that I had, I needed to go back and repent for not giving God priority in my life for an amount of time. Not taking the opportunities that he gave me to share my testimony before, much like you're saying, whether because I felt that maybe it was going to affect my employment or my opportunity to get this job or this connection that I have, because they might not want to do business with somebody who used to be a drug addict or whatever it may be. So let's touch on that a little bit as well.
Yeah, I think, I mean, with what you were saying about leadership, I think it's incredibly important, because when you seek to lead people in any regard, whether it be in ministry or in a pastoral role or administration or professional role, anything like that, you're asserting a type of confidence or ability to lead that you're saying I can do for you better than you can do for yourself. And by doing that, I think that's why the Bible so clearly admonishes people from taking that lightly. You know, you get into a role of leadership and you appeal to people and you tell them that I'm a leader, I can lead you, I can take you where you need to go, and if it's not where you need to go, I can take you where you need to be. And the result of that is these people lay down their own will and they put it in your hands. And I think in a pastoral role you see that a lot, where people are willing to follow their pastor even into darkness. That crux of why it's here, because if the pastor does not have the humility and the humbleness to stop when he's told to stop, and he continues to move on because there's something in there that won't allow him to listen to that word, you know, whether it be financial or personal or public, just something that is not as powerful as the Holy Spirit that is overpowering the Holy Spirit's influence inside of that person. You know, our ministry is slowly stepping us into a role of leadership too. And it is that same risk, you know, with what we do. If we allow people to follow what we're doing, then we're taking that responsibility of, of being able to steward it properly. And if we don't, if we can't listen, how can we do what the Holy Spirit's telling us to do?
Yeah.
And I, you know, you say, would we be willing to stop if the Holy Spirit said stop and we both heard it and we both didn't hear anything and we were just like, well, we've been saying that we're taking the step that's illuminated before us. And when they stop being illuminated, we stop taking steps. And that's something me and you have both talked about. It's easy to say that, yeah, we'd stop.
Yeah.
But I can also pretty confidently tell you I would struggle tremendously with actually stopping. Mm-hmm. I'd still be making these little memes. I'd still be reading the word. I'd be doing all these things. I would feel like stopping meant don't take any new stuff.
Yeah.
I'd have a really hard time accepting the idea that we're supposed to just hard stop.
Yeah.
But in acknowledging that I don't think I'm there, that I don't think I'd be able to do it, what that enables me to do in this calling is to lay that down to God and allow him to strengthen me to be able to actually stop in the future if that's what he wills for us, right? The issue is that if we are not able to admit that we have that flaw, then we will never let go of what we need to let go of to allow the Holy Spirit to enable that. And I think you see that in all levels of leadership throughout all of the world, whether it be in religion or politics or administration or in business, any of that kind of stuff. You see people that can't let go because of the implication of letting go. You think you're holding on to something that's keeping you from dropping off a cliff, and there's no real cliff there. It's all just an illusion. And, you know, by admitting those flaws and those faults, you're empowered. You're enabling the Holy Spirit to empower you in a way that can actually maybe push you into a higher level of leadership and allow God to give you more to steward. Because I think the bottom line is really it's stewardship. You're telling God, I'll be a vessel for you. Pour into me what you want to be kept and used, and I will pour it out where you tell me to pour it.
Yeah,
that's what our ministry is. That's what a pastor is doing. It's asking, it's telling God that my vessel is not cracked, it's not broken, and if it becomes damaged, I will come to you, and I will have you repair it for me. And that is such a difficult task. I mean, you can't have any arrogance and pride in that, because an arrogant and prideful person would say that small drip coming out of the bottom of the vessel, allowing things to leak out, is fine. It's still able to serve its purpose and all this stuff, and that's also going to be the reason the vessel breaks. And, you know, I wind up getting kind of passionate about these types of subjects. One in particular is, you know, we're also asked to make sure that God is the very first thing in our life, above our wife, above our children, above our jobs or careers, everything that we're doing, that God be put first. And my biggest challenge to that is, imagine a scenario where I have to pick God over my wife and my children and all that kind of stuff. And I can tell you I can, but the reality is if I really play that scenario out, I'm not positive I can. I'm not positive I have that strength. And I would challenge anyone that says they do have to strictly reevaluate that situation. It's very difficult. But in having the humility that it takes to admit that your faith may not be as bold and proud as you'd say it is, then that's what enables God to really entrust you with more things to steward for him, whether that be ministries or leaderships or just anything that you are a vessel for.
Well, this ministry is a perfect example of that. I mean, I was talking with another brother last week, and that's something that we were talking about, that I have to be so reliant on the Holy Spirit to speak through me when it comes to more theological rooted conversations or things of that nature, because I'm not I humbly admit that I'm not as rooted in the word as I should be. I can tell you the country that a piece of scripture is in, but I can't give you the GPS coordinates and quote it for what it is and tell you exactly where to find it. And there are times that I can just, that the Holy Spirit recite scripture through me, or I'll go through a 30-minute conversation with somebody, and I don't remember half of the things that I spoke because it wasn't me speaking.
Right.
The Holy Spirit was speaking through me in that moment. I can tell you right now that I'm probably not going to remember at least half of this conversation that we're having right now. I entered into this thing and in a time of prayer, asking the Spirit to work through us, to shut our mouth if our flesh wanted to speak something that wasn't of God, or that he didn't want us to convey across, or if there was any sense of pride coming through in this conversation. And I truly feel that he's here and present in this conversation, speaking through both of us right now, and that the people are going to hear this who need to hear.
I agree. And I think, I mean, that's a perfect segue into the next part of what I think it takes to be able to answer a call and to be able to dedicate yourself to that call in a way that allows the Holy Spirit to give you the qualifications, or to empower the qualifications that you already have and strengthen them in a way that makes the glory of God the breadwinner of the situation. And for me, in my life, a huge, huge role in that is by praising God through, mm-hmm. you know, always passing that glory on to him anytime it's uncalled for, whether it be in your personal prayer or whether it be in an interaction with another one of our brothers or sisters in this world, that we say, I mean, there's nothing that we're doing here that is empowering this in the way that the Holy Spirit is. And you take the Holy Spirit away from this, and we're just a bunch of dinguses making videos and doing stuff that, you know what I mean? Like it's a
fruitless put it better.
But I think that's very real, that, you know, I give thanks every night when I go to sleep for the opportunity to be a part of this ministry that God has given me. And I praise him for everything that he will do, and I praise him for everything that he's done. And then I turn around and I praise him for everything that has ever happened to me, because it led me here. And I can't be me without all of that. And, you know, there was a discussion I was having with regarding one of the videos where I was talking about, as parents, we're supposed to use our previous experiences and even the stuff where we may have gone astray, and to ask for wisdom and knowledge and discernment from God, so that we can take even the times that we were lost and use that in a way that we can raise our children to not walk down the same path. And yeah. It was brought up to me that, like, that can be kind of dangerous, because you can essentially enable that path to your children when it wasn't there before, just by yeah. trying to share testimony in a way of guidance, mm-hmm. you could be kind of led astray. And so it was, you know, this Romans 8, I believe, where it's talking about that all things will be worked together for the good of those who love God. And that's what I use in my mind when I think about the stuff, when you talk about your past, or when I think about my past, of all things that we think are disqualifications are very much not disqualifications. They can actually be empowering our qualifications if we are able to call upon the Spirit of wisdom and ask for the knowledge and the discernment that it takes for us to be able to use those properly without misusing them or presenting them in a way that actually endangers other people. So,
and that's something that I've definitely struggled with my children. You know, they would come with us to celebrate recovery every night, and they just thought of it as another night of church. And my kids are now 13 and close to 11. And I haven't shared any details of any of my testimony with them. There's things that they've done that can relate to some of the things that I have done, just displaying some behaviors. And I've approached it in a way of them of, I've made some poor choices in my life and here's how I learned from it, but they don't know the extent of it. And that's something that I pray about and try to seek guidance with quite regularly, because I don't want them to go down that path. But I know that me as a kid growing up, my parents would share with me, oh yeah, I ditched school when I was 15 and we'd go out to Canyon Lake and spend all afternoon getting drunk and jumping off cliffs and then pick the best drunk driver to drive back down that windy road to make sure we didn't die when we flew off the mountain. And all I thought is, oh, that sounds cool and mom and dad did it, so that's something that I got to do.
Exactly. And I think that is the major issue there. So can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. My headset beat, so we might have to wrap up soon. But I think that's the major issue is you try to tell your kids why you know better and why they should listen to you, and inadvertently you told them how to do things that they're just going to think are awesome. Yeah. And by giving that to God and asking for the wisdom, what happens, and from the situation we're talking about now, but it also goes to the way that we conduct ourselves in this ministry as well. How do we use everything that we have in a way that brings glory to God and empowers the work without being a detriment to people who are at risk by hearing certain things like that? And I think, I mean, for me, it seems, you know, it's always like a high level approach that you take that narrows down and narrows and narrows. But it's with the ministry, it's with all of it. And I think this is probably the best way to wrap it up, as you tie it back to what Francis Chan said, that we need to make sure that we're structuring this whole thing, that everything we're doing thoroughly falls apart as soon as the Holy Spirit leaves.
Yeah.
If we build it on our own backs, then we're at risk of not being able to guide it with the Holy Spirit. We won't ever know whether the Holy Spirit's there or not. If you've got $150 and you part in your pocket and you give 50 cents to the Holy Spirit, how are you going to know when he's needing you to stop spending and stop spending and stop spending when he doesn't have control over any of what you're doing? Yeah. So instead, we build it in that same structure. We put all the weight on the Holy Spirit. We do it and rely on him, and we rely on everything that God can give us. And then that way it becomes painfully clear in some situations that we are to stop when the Holy Spirit tells us to stop, because the provision will be what has been moving it forward. So,
yeah. Well, I think that was a great closing note there, brother. So thanks for taking the time to jump on here today. We're going to have this coming to you more regularly, some different discussion topics that we can speak through and share with you guys. And we welcome you to ask us any questions that you have in the comment section here. Give us any feedback. Jonathan, you want to close out in prayer, brother?
Yes, sir, I will. God, we thank you. We thank you for your presence in this conversation. We thank you for everything that you've stewarded into us and trusted us to steward for you. God, we pray that you keep us humble and you keep us humiliated in a way that we can bring all of our faults and our troubles and our shortcomings to you so that you can empower them. God, we rely on you in everything that we do. And we just ask that you do not let us run astray with arrogance or with pride or with self-righteousness in a way that we destroy this beautiful work that you're putting together through our lives. God, we just, regardless of all things that happen, we just thank you. God, in Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you so much. All glory to your name. Amen.
Amen. All right, guys. You guys have a great day. Jonathan, we'll talk to you later, brother.
All right, later, brother.